Well, as you know, today is my birthday. So I was wondering about to preach on this coming week, but a couple of incidents happened this last week. Well, first of all, there was one of our devotions this last week was about divine interruptions. That sometimes God brings things into your life which you aren't 100% planned for, but they still come and they're God's interruptions. And then we had one of those divine interruptions, thank you very much, this last week. I went shopping on Thursday. We went shopping down to East London on Thursday to buy stationery for our school. And while we were standing in the queue waiting to pay, a young man was in the queue with us over there, and he said to me, "Aren't you from King Williamstown?" I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Aren't you the pastor of the Bethany Church?" So he said, "Yes." He was kind of in his early 30s, maybe mid-30s, somewhere around there. And then he said such an encouraging thing. He said, "You know, when I was at Dale Junior, Mr. Greats used to be my hostel master, and we used to come to Bethany, and I've never forgotten those times when we were there." More than 15 years ago, friends, when that happened. And I was just reminded again, you know, so many times we go through life and we wonder sometimes what it's all about. What's God doing in the midst of that? But let me just remind you this morning, friends, God is in the midst of our everyday lives. You know, so oftentimes we call situations like that coincidences. But let's not call them coincidences. I want to remind you that they are not coincidences, they are God incidences. And friends, the reality is the Bible is full of situations which seem like a coincident, but actually it's a God incident. And I want to remind you of that this morning. In the Bible, there's a little word that flows right throughout the scriptures. It's the word B-U-T, but God. You know, you come across a phrase, it describes a situation, and then it says, but God is involved in this particular situation. So I want to remind you, I spoke on this topic about 15 years ago, many, many years ago. And I was reminded of that as I was thinking of what to share this morning. Let me first of all remind you, friend, that if you think you're in charge of your life, think again. God, friends, is in charge. I was just listening to some of the news report of the court case situation down in East London, and Mr. Malema saying, I will never do this and I will never do that. And I wanted to say to him, Mr. Malema, never say I will never, because God will say, yes, you will. Friend, we have many situations like that in the scripture. When we think we're in charge, God's got a different plan. There was a young man, Jesus told a parable of a young successful farmer. He was so successful that one day he decided, I'm going to build bigger barns. I need more place to store all of my success. Look how wonderful and how great I am. But this is what it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, today your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Friend, be careful. Be careful to say to God, this is how I expect my life to live. Be careful to say to God, I've got my plans and I don't care about yours, God. Friend, the minute you say that, God has an alternate plan. You know, I'm 66 today. I know I'm not as old as some of you others here today. But I've lived a few lives, you know, I've lived a while already. And let me just remind you, friend, that the things you plan for yourself, when I left school, I was determined to be an accountant. I was very good at accountancy at school. God had me. In fact, I even started a degree in accountancy. I did a first year of a BCom degree. Everything was going fine. But God said, no, I don't want you to be an accountant. I want you to be a pastor. Friend, but God. When you think you can plan your own life, let me remind you, friend, but God said to that young man, today your life will be demanded from you. Secondly, when you, friend, are uncertain about the future, let me remind you, God knows about the future. There was a time in Joseph's life. Joseph, who was the second youngest son of Judah, he had everything going for him. He was the favorite son. Now, I can say in my family, I was the favorite son as well. I was the last born of four. And my mother always used to say, when you have children, make sure you've got four, because by the time you get to the fourth one, they're the best. I think she said that to my other children, other siblings too, but I never forget those words to me. I felt like the Joseph of my family. Except my older brothers were like Joseph's older brothers. Sometimes they did things to me, friends, that were not very nice. I think I've told you some of those before. They used to tickle me until I wet my pants. Those are the kind of older brothers I had. One day Joseph was going out to visit his brothers, and when he was a long way away, the brothers decided, we need to get rid of this young man. He's too much of a trouble for us. So we know the story. They made it as if he had been killed by a wild animal, put blood on a coat that belonged to him. But actually, they sold him to travelers that were traveling down to Egypt. And Joseph went off to Egypt, and there he was serving in different houses. Eventually, the Pharaoh had a dream, and the Pharaoh dreamt about this dream that there were seven fat cows and they were very strong, and then there were seven thin cows and they were so thin they were even eating the fat cows. And the Pharaoh didn't know what to do, so he asked the wise men, you know, how should... Then the person who was the cupbearer of the king, the person who looked after him, said to him, I know a man, I was in prison with him, and he can interpret your dreams. And Joseph goes to him and says to the Pharaoh, I can't do it. Joseph replied to the Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Friends, sometimes we don't know the future. Sometimes we don't understand God's plans. Sometimes we just go from one moment to the next moment, wondering where God is in the midst of what is happening to us, friends. I'm sure Joseph felt a lot like that. He wondered where life was taking him. But there came a moment. There came the God incidents. After being sold into slavery, after being stuck in the house of Potiphar, after being accused of adultery, after serving in a jail. Friends, after one bad incident after the next, Joseph stood in front of what was then the most powerful man in the world. He stood in front of, Donald Trump. And he said to him, "You think you know what you're doing, but let me tell you, but God will give you the answer." Friend, when you don't know the future, when you don't understand the future, friend, let me remind you, God knows the future. Thirdly, when you think you can outmaneuver God, there's another story. One day, the Midianites wanted to curse Israel. They were wanting to say bad things about Israel. So they hired a prophet called Balaam. And they said to Balaam, "Balaam, you go and speak a curse over the nation of Israel." And Balaam kind of wanted to make some money. I mean, that's how prophets made their money those days. People would pay them to prophesy. So Balaam decided to go and do what he was meant to do. Except God stopped him on one occasion and said to him, "Balaam, don't do it." But Balaam was determined to go. So he went again, friends, and then we come across this phrase. God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed." But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road opposite him. Balaam was riding a donkey, and his two servants were with him. Well, we know the story, friends. The story is that Balaam's donkey sees Jesus. And Balaam's donkey stops Balaam from going to speak a curse over the nation of Israel. Again, friends, I don't know about you. I don't know when you have had a donkey speak to you. Have you had a donkey speak to you before? I can think of a few donkeys that have spoken to me, but I won't tell you their names. Friends, sometimes God's got to put a donkey in our way to stop us doing what we think is the right thing for us to do. Friend, but God, Balaam was intent in going to speak a curse over the nation of Israel. But God was intent in being a blessing to the nation of Israel. So the angel of the Lord appears. Whenever you come across that phrase, the angel of the Lord, it's not just any angel. It's Jesus himself, friends. That little phrase, the angel of the Lord, whenever it's a capital L, you know it's Jesus. Jesus stops Balaam from doing what he wanted to do. Saul, King Saul, at one stage was intent in murdering young David, who had been anointed to be the future king of Israel. During the holidays, Patricia and I took our grandchildren to watch the movie called David. I don't know if any of you have been to see it. I think it's in the movies theater down in East London at the moment. Is it still there? I don't know if it's still there. But if you haven't seen it, friends, it's a movie on the life of David. It was made right here in South Africa. It's an animated movie. It was made in Cape Town by a studio down in Cape Town, although the project was funded and driven from America. But it belongs to an organization called the Angel Network. Patricia will tell you if you're interested, she'll send you to a website which takes you to the Angel Network. And they've got a lot of wonderful Christian movies. Do you know that on the same weekend that the movie David was released, the third edition of the Avatar series was released? Now, the Avatar series, friends, Avatar, the first two, the first one is the largest grossing movie of all time. I don't know why, I've never seen it myself. But you know, the movie David had higher income in the movies that weekend than Avatar did. Isn't that encouraging? Friends, people are hungry for God's things. People want to see God working. And when something great, like a story that comes out, that reminds us of how God works in so many ways, the very thing I'm talking about today, friends, when David came out, the movie David came out, it outperformed Avatar by a long way. Friends, that's how God works. Sometimes we don't understand it. When we think we can be better than God, friends, or do things that are opposed to God's plans, friends, but God. This is what it says about Saul. David stayed in the desert strongholds, and in the foothills of the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God didn't give David into his hands. Friend, when you're under the protection of God, when God has got his hand upon you, while it may seem as if the world around you is falling apart, David was on the run, friends. He was hiding away from the king of Israel. His life was being threatened in every single little way, friends. But God never allowed Saul to lay a hand on David's life. Friend, what a great encouragement for us to be reminded that God, you can never outmaneuver God. God is always in charge of what's happening. He knows the future. Friend, when you feel as if the world is against you, don't forget God is there. At one point in time in the life of the nation of Israel, the Moabites were coming to attack Israel. And there was a great threat on the nation of Israel. And the king of Israel at that point in time was Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was sure that Israel and Judah were doomed. But God tells Jehoshaphat, get the band going. Start singing. And this is what it says. Listen, Jehoshaphat, and all of you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. The battle is not yours, but God's. Friend, what a great encouragement that is for us today. We don't know what may bring, what may come our way today. But let me remind you, friends, the battle is not yours. Friend, because God fights on our behalf. How do we know God fights on our behalf, friends? We know God fights on our behalf, friends, because we can turn to Him for forgiveness. Where can we go for help? Wherever we go, friends, we don't know where to go to. The nation of Israel was failing. Jesus came onto the scene, and Jesus started touching people and healing people. And then He started forgiving people their sins. And the Pharisees were absolutely astounded. How can this man forgive sins? They say, Mark 2 verse 7, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God? A little bit further on in Luke 5, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to speak to themselves, why is this man speaking blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? And then Romans tells us, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated His love for us. Friend, if you kind of don't know where to turn to today, you can turn to Jesus. He's the answer. He's the one who will save you. He's the one who will forgive you. When you're feeling weak as a Christian, friends, let me remind you again also of the strength that only God provides. 1 Corinthians reminds us, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Paul writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God who gives it growth. Hebrews reminds us, every house is built by somebody, but God is the builder of everything. Friend, I don't know what you're doing with your life at the moment, but let me remind you, friend, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling as if you've got nothing to offer, friends, God can use the weakest part of you to build the greatest strength that He wants in your life. Why? Why are we reminded of all these but gods? Well, friend, at one point in time, it looked as if God had failed. Because the man who claimed to be God, Jesus, was hanging on a cross. And as He hung on a cross, friends, the world around Him said to Him, you saved others. Come on, save yourself. They mocked Him. They spat at Him. They sold His clothes. They beat Him. They put a crown of thorns on His head. And He died. Friend, it seemed as if Satan had won. But listen to what it says in the book of Acts. But God raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 3 verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 10 verse 40. But God raised Him from the dead on the third day. Acts chapter 13 verse 30. But God raised Him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 30, verse 20. But Christ has indeed risen from the dead. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So Christ did not take upon Himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to Him, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Friends, at the darkest moment in history, at the darkest moment of all of what has happened in this world, when it seemed as if everything had failed, we're reminded, but God raised him from the dead. Fred, sometimes you may be wondering what God is doing in your life. Won't you put the next thing on the screen there, that thing that says wait? I'm going to give you a little bookmark like this. James will be at the door with them at the end of the service. Friends, sometimes we don't understand God's directions, God's ways, and sometimes when we're a little bit confused, God tells us just to wait. A little acronym, I came across this on Facebook this last week, it really touched my heart. Waiting, what does waiting mean? First of all, walk in his timing, friends. We don't know God's timing sometimes, but God knows his timing. God knows when he's going to work, friends. Sometimes we're doing our own thing. But, friends, you need to align your will to his life. Sometimes when you at a loose end, you don't know what to do. Let me encourage you, friend. Invest your time in his word. As you spend time in his word, friend, God's purposes and plans will be revealed to you. One of the greatest gifts I received as a birthday present from my mother was a commentary on the Bible. A whole commentary. When I joined up the military, I started reading that commentary. It was by a lady author, believe it or not, Henrietta Mears. While I was in the doing my military service, I read right through that commentary and right through the Bible in those 2 years that I was there. I wasn't really a Christian at that point in time. I was a Christian in name, but not really a follower, a daily follower. But friends, the more I got into God's word, the more God's word got into me. Friend, if you don't know what to do, but God. Friend, when you read the Bible, you will discover what God's purpose is for you. And then finally, but God, trust in his plan. You know, I've said this once before, I'll just remind you of it again. The problem with us is that we've got to live life forward, but we best understand it looking backwards. It's one of the great privileges of old age, because as I look over the last 60 years or more, I can see God work there and there and there and there. And there, and there. But God, friend, let me remind you, friend, just wait. The last verse, you can't see it properly at the bottom there, says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Let's pray together.